So there's a request from the serving guys that as soon as the meeting is finished, that all the guys, if you're unsure who you are, I'll always help you with that. So all the guys afterwards, if they can just stack 6 chairs on each other and take it inside, it will be very, very helpful. It's a request from Jody. Then, where's the Team T guys? How many Team T guys do we have here? 2. All right, welcome. and then there's a community from Wellington. Wellington PM, right? Where are you guys? All right, 3. You guys would be lucky because I think around about 5, the leftover glory from Stellenbosch might reach Wellington. So anyway, it's great to have new people and some visitors here. It's like a pack today. So I just, if you are a visitor, I just want to tell you something about us, that we are attempting, or we really desire to be the best church in Stellenbosch. We want to be the best church in Stellenbosch. So if you want to join us, you need to be ready. See, my wife is already making excuses for me. You need to be ready to join the best church in Stellenbosch. So in order to be the best church in Stellenbosch, there's a couple of things that we need to do. Some people are looking at me. He's not serious, right? I'm serious. All right, so... the first thing is that I hope that if you are with us, some truth will open up to you that was kind of hidden. There must be an experience that when you're with us, you will go, I never knew that was in the Bible. Why has this been withheld from me for so long? I've never seen it like this. But that's not all. I trust that you join with us. you will see the power of God operate. See, with us, if we make the altar call for burdens, there's no one in the church that has one burden. It's a sign that the power of God is operating greatly in our midst. There's no ailments, there's no sickness, there's no emotional care. Because here, the power of God operates. But genuinely, we desire to see the power of God operate. A couple of weeks ago, one of our guys went out. He had a word of 6 words of knowledge for healing in a group. And all 6 of those guys, he knocked, came out. Lately, I've seen power gifts. I've seen the gifts of prophecy operate in us. Many people were set free. I see demons cast out. Surely, the power of God is here. But that's not all. What we desire amongst us is that there are people that also would care for the poor, the downtrodden, and willing to sell even all their possessions. We are willing to share and say, your fridge, or my fridge. wait. My fridge is your fridge. If you will allow us to say, your fridge is my fridge. All right. And we are willing to sell everything to see that purpose come about. But that's not all. If you want to join us, can I say this one thing about us? We're radical. We're radical. Oh, yes, we're radical. We're willing to not only lay down possessions for the kingdom and for the purpose of God. Our life is on the altar. We're willing to die. We're willing to die and give our lives up as everything as long as the purpose of God come about. So let's quickly read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and although I have all faith so that I could move or remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. A little in this week, our PM congregation was looking for a venue, and I know the one guy that is leading a more traditional church, so I went, I knew him, so I took the guys to go and just see the church building that they meet at. And the people don't meet in the evenings anymore because of COVID, their student meeting and their youth meeting got dismayed completely. Oh, and the guy's just telling us how the struggles that he has as a congregation and how difficult some of the things are over this time. And then he says, but look, I want to say to you guys, if God is using you amongst the students, if God is using you amongst the youth, this facility here is yours. Use it as best as you can, as long as God's kingdom can come, you know. And I didn't pick up a hint of competition. Not at all. I just considered a guy that really, really loved and cared for us, you know. And I walked away there, and I said to myself, oh, at least this guy knows how to love. And then I paused. Oh, shucks, God. What if this is the thing that's elevated above everything else? Now, I'm not promoting fruitlessness. Please, I want us to be fruitful, very fruitful. Jesus wants us to be fruitful. In that us bear much fruit, the Father is glorified. But something struck me. And I was wondering if Jesus would walk around in the churches, if Jesus would walk around here, what will be beautiful for him? What will be magnificent for him? What will he honor? What will be great? And so I want to read you three verses in Revelation 2 and 3 where Jesus walked amongst the churches. And there was a certain perspective on the churches and how they looked. First one is in Revelation 2. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. But Jesus walks around, and this is mocked of this church. Look, these guys have suffered a lot. They're dismayed, poor. And then Jesus says, but when I view you, you're rich. I'm thinking, what if the way that I view, what if the way that, see, God is not moved by the way that we judge churches. God is not moved by the way that we consider things. He keeps his standard. Whatever we make a fuss about, he's not moved by that. And what if those that are not considered, what if those that are, it's like in all those areas that I just mentioned now that we want to be great in, honestly, we bulldoze that church like nothing in those areas. Definitely greater revelation power, all those things. But who knows? Who knows that they strike something in regards to love? And that God will say, I know you're poor. I know you disregard it. But I say you're rich. Next one. And here's the opposite. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are miserable, are wretched, miserable, and poor. It's just the opposite. Blind and naked. And so the next one. And to the angel of the church in Ooh. It's not that one. No. I think it is verse 7. 3:7. Verse 7. No. It's okay. Sorry about that. It's the other church that he said, you have a reputation that you're alive, but I say you're dead. And so it's regardless of your reputation, it's at the end what God says, you know. And I'm just saying, in my journey, much of what we can regard as special might not be regarded as that special in heaven, and upside down, you know. And so I actually are speaking about the gifts today. But it was just striking to me whenever the gifts are given in the Bible. If you look at the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, it's like it's a hamburger. The bun is in 12 and 14, and the patty is right in the middle in 13. It's like God has given us these gifts, or He has given us ways to love one another. And the Holy Spirit has poured out gifts so that we can learn how to love one another with those gifts. You take away the patty, oh, it's a dry meal. It's unless that patty is there, unless that meat is there of love on which we do it, it doesn't matter. And so the Ephesians 4 giftings that we'll look just now at, but it's all in bringing about unity and love in the body. And so the Romans 12 gifting as well. The other thing around the giftings that I was just so looking again is, what do we celebrate in our midst? What is significant? What is special, and what is special in the eyes of God? And what is the members that we regard, and what is the members that we don't regard? And so hopefully, I trust that there will be an accurate regard, even as we share today, of how God wants to function and how God wants us to celebrate one another. So just quickly, look, I've got only 2 Bible school students here. I was hoping for a little bit more, so at least I will have them. But there's 3 sets of giftings in the New Testament. And the first one is in Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, God has given to the church certain gifts. These persons are a gift to the church. They're apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And God says, these people are gifts to the church. The person is a gift. Not everybody in the body is called to be them. There's just a select few, but there's just a few people that are functioning like that. And that's their calling. And then you get the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. It's 9 gifts, and they're divided in 3 parts. The first one, and that's not biblically, we just have made it to make it easier for us. The first one is the revelatory gift. It's the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And then there is the spoken gifts, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then there's the power gifts, Keith. Miracles, healings, and faith. And and these gifts, God just dispersed in the body. It's like he has these gifts with him, and he just... For me, I never know. It's so interesting for me always when somebody gets saved and they get born again and filled with the Spirit, I don't know what gift is going to come out there. It's like, you know, when you've got a seeds in your hand and you don't know what plant it is, and you plant the seed, and there's an expectation to see what on earth is the seed, actually? Sometimes when people get saved, they get filled with the Spirit, there's an anticipation for me just to see. All right. And just, you put them in different situations, and you go like, oh, I know this plant. Ah, there it comes. And you see the gift. But it is not a regarder of the personality, of anything like that. It's God just dispersed it. You never know what's going to come out. But then you get the Romans 12 gifts. And I'm just looking, it's my language, just in order to help to explain a little bit better. If Romans 12s will be almost like strengths, I will have a pretty good idea what your Romans 12 gift would be, even though when you were unsaved. Here's an example. If Donald Trump get filled with the Spirit, I would have no idea what gift of the Spirit he would have. It might be anything. If Donald Trump get filled with the Spirit, I promise you, he probably will not have the gift of mercy as a Romans 12 gift. I can tell you now what type of gifting he would probably have as a Romans 12 gift, even before he functions in the Spirit of God. And so the Romans 12 gift is, some call it motivational gifts or our strengths, but it is certain things that's almost our makeup. But when the Spirit comes upon us, it gets activated, it gets placed in right order, and then mixed with love, it functions so that the body of Christ can operate and work with it well. So I want us to stand still with Romans 12 a little bit, because I think there's something for us there, all right? So let's read Romans 12 from verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Number one, if prophesy, let's prophesy. Just want to say, prophecy is the only gift that falls in all three of the categories. You get a prophet, you get the gift of prophecy, and you get the ministry of prophecy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, of serving. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, he who encourage is in exhortation. Like, I'll tell you now, Warren has the gift of encouragement. Warren can't help it. I've tried with him. Warren, today, don't encourage the guy. Okay, we're not going to encourage the guy. All right. And then he encouraged the guy. He can't help it. When Warren is going to be around you, he's going to encourage you. That gift is just, I mean, that's overflowing in him, right? And when we're around him, we feel encouraged. We need Warren. Encouragers in team setups, it's so important. People just go halfway until the encouragers comes in. You're doing great. I've done nothing. No, man. He who gives with liberality, he who leads, some says with diligence, some say the gift of administration there. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love, again, the patty. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Let's quickly go to verse 4 again. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. It is interesting, if I would look at my body, you know, that there is not one part of my body that doesn't have a function. There was a while ago when there was kind of evolution talk, and the theory was like trying to figure out what is the use of the appendix. And doctors will come from the stance that it's impossible that thing there cannot have any purpose. It's impossible that there can be anything on your body that's just hanging there with no purpose. It must have a purpose. And so with that assumption, they try to figure out what the appendix is. I would have just gone like, couldn't the thing just hang there? Couldn't it just be there? No. If it's part of your body, it must have a function. Probably the thing that have the least amount of function is our hair. My wife says it's decoration. And sure, some needs decoration in order to find a mate. But if you're really good, you can catch a mate without it. Ha ha ha. But the point is that every in our natural body, everything in our body automatically would think has a function. It's interesting how we as consider the body many times. Our question is, do I get fed here? Do I get nourishment here? There's no member of my body that only thinks, I just want to get nourished. You guys do what you need to do. I just want to come here now and then and just give me a little bit. And I'm just going to hang around here. No, the only reason why my body gets nourishment is so that my members can work. It's the only reason why they get nourished. And the only reason why my members are functioning is so that the body as a whole can function better. Do you understand if Paul pulls that through as a type to the church, do you know what percentage of the church is completely fine by being members that just consider whether they get nourished or not? But the very purpose of being nourished as a member of the body is you get nourished to function. If you not function, you're cancerous. And so my body would consider probably way back, it's like this hair. It's like we just have so much nutrition. We're going to save it for the more important parts. Sorry. It's an interesting thing, you know, a couple of months ago, for those of you that's part of us would know, as a church, we went for a time that a lot of us felt like heavy burdened, heavy loaded. So glad when the prayer came out and just burdens are lifted, you know. But there was a time, there was a time. It was like heavy burdened. We struggled, you know, so much so that people will say just pitching up on a Sunday and just trying to make a Sunday meeting work was so much work. Just trying to go through the church program, it just felt so heavy. And so we call the prayer meeting and we say, look, Jesus says, all were heavy and burdened and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. And so we come together, we prayed, we seek the Lord and said, Jesus, let us just look to you again. Let this all this strife and all these things that just drew us and caused us to be heavy burden, let it be lifted from us as we look to you. And that's amazing. I don't know if you are part of us and that journey that we had, it's so much lighter. It's definitely lifted on us. I mean, Gunther is shaking his head. And Gunther, the machine almost fell apart. And then you need to know. But you know what was the other problem? It was not only the only problem that we have. The problem that I realized amongst us was that there were some members or some functions that we disregarded in our midst. And some functions we didn't see as that serious. Now, you must understand my makeup, you know. There's certain things that I'm passionate about. And don't turn it against me now, and I'll make sure that I don't. But I was not necessarily so passionate about serving. And so the guys would come to me and says, look, we need to get the guys to serve a little bit more. I'm like, let's just get them to prophesy, man. Let's just get them there. Let's get them to cast out demons or anything, you know. No, we need to rally guys. And so what happened more and more, the church started developing in one area very, very strong. But in another area, there was a couple of people that do many, many functions. It was the lungs did the job of the heart and the kidneys. And what happened after a while is they carried all these things and the lungs couldn't function anymore because they need to do all the other things. And so what we did is we go like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, guys, sorry. And we started just recognizing gifts and suddenly the kidneys stepped into their place. The heart stepped into their place. And lungs could do what they need to do. And suddenly there's just a rest that came into us. As each member, as members, does its work. And so, I want to ask, and that's what I really want to contend for. I think we've in some ways just missed it a little bit in what we have emphasized and what we valued and what we've made important in our midst. And I wonder if we're actually going to do a little bit of a series. Can you believe it?
Uh-huh.
But there's three gifts that I want us to just consider in the next while. It's the gift of serving. It's the gift of giving. It's the gift of mercy. What's so funny about this gift, not only is there people in here that has that gift. And if that gift doesn't get activated amongst you, we are suffering. We need you to do that. And the kingdom is suffering. We need you to do that. But as these gifts are starting to function, it starts activating a love amongst us to serve. It starts activating a love amongst us to give. It starts activating a love for us to show and understand mercy amongst one another. It's also the three gifts that is not excused for the rest of the body. Everybody needs to serve in some capacity. In fact, we'll speak about it now, but that is the highest one. As Jesus says, I've come to serve. And whoever wants to be the greatest, see, that's my temptation there. That's the only thing why I would look at serving at some stage. Whoever wants to be the greatest. Yeah. Be a servant of all. Aww. Remember, it's like early days. Jesus, I want to be great for you. This Jesus says, then become the least. I'm like, I don't know if I want to be great anymore. But and then giving. We're all called to give. We're all called to show mercy. And hopefully something amongst in this body would start shifting and that we will be kind of running in all cylinders in this area. Now, around the gift of serving, I had a while ago, I spent time with a guy in Amitz. I will exclude names, but he's got the gift of serving. And before I had time with him, I was just praying and I asked God just to show me. And I felt the Lord said, because of a bad experience in serving, his heart is drawn back in that area. And so then I spoke to him and I said to him, listen, man, I just want to hear what was your experience like in serving with us. It's like, no, I'll do it, you know, for the kingdom, I'll do anything, you know, that type of vibe. But I could hear as I pulled it out of him that he said, look, it's just such an attitude of not serving. And so sometimes that you want to activate it amongst people and want people to get to do stuff, there's almost not a reciprocation with that. And I realize he's drawn back in it. And you know what? We need that guy to function. We need him for the church and for the kingdom to function. Now, I tell you what. You know what gives me passion? Why, you guys won't believe it, but it gives me passion to do what I'm doing right now. I like to teach. I like to minister in this way. In fact, I'm looking forward to do this. I really do. But if I would come here and suddenly there's this big serving movement, and as soon as I start preaching, everybody starts working in the garden, you know? And I'll go like, guys, you know, this is also important, right? I know the serving thing is not, but yeah. It's like, no, man, we've finished with that now. It's like, we're just going to serve. What's it going to do to this gift? Because it's not an appreciation of the gift. That gift will draw back. And I want to say, and I'm speaking to us as a family now here. If you're a visitor, just bear with us here. But I think we need to make space for the serving gifts again by changing our attitude when it comes to that things. And we will see how that thing activates. As we would make the teachers feel welcome by appreciation of the word, as we will make the prophets feel welcome by appreciating the words of the Spirit, so we will open ourselves up with the word of prophecy. And that's how we can activate this thing. And by them doing it, they activate us. So, a number of you, there's a couple of you that has asked me to start a prayer meeting again on Sunday mornings. And you can hear the amen immediately, you know. I love praying. We Wednesday morning we had a prayer meeting in our house, and this should probably not come even on the recording, but our house was so full, 6 o'clock in the morning, that people were our living area, that's not that small, was so overflowing, people were flooding then into our kitchen. And then when that was full, people went into the hallway. I'm exaggerating a little bit, right? Look, and there was a lot of people, okay? And there were people in the kitchen and in the hallway. I looked into her eyes and I know what she was thinking. I'd rather get it done now than afterwards. So. And that prayer meeting, by the way, that prayer meeting that we started has not only started giving word to us on what to do on a Sunday, and we have accurately hit what God is doing in the church as we were hearing and doing that, but also much of the prayers that were starting to go out there started manifesting in the congregation. If people say prayer is the engine room, I believe it. Because I've seen it. I've seen it, I'm convinced of it. But on a Sunday morning, when it comes to prayer meetings, my idea, I've been in many Sunday morning prayer meetings. Wally, remember those early ones, right? Sunday mornings. I've done many. And basically, we pray for the Sunday celebration or the Sunday meeting. And there's three things that we need to ask for. We need to ask that all practical things will go well with, that visitors will be welcomed and feel nice and so on. So if you're a visitor, we've prayed, well, I don't know. And thirdly, we want to ask that God's glory would come and all those type of things, you know. Now, I want to confess, guys. I have a confession to make. In those prayer meetings, I have rebuked a couple of times the sound demon. It has happened before when the sound didn't work that we started rebuking the devil. Devil, you will not interfere with the work of God today. We command that sound. I was just wondering if that same prayer meeting would have gone help the sound guy. Maybe we could have sorted out that sound. It's funny that when some guys are in sound, the demons manifest more. Guys, the sound is not going to get better by spiritual warfare. The sound is not going to get better by spiritual warfare. God has given a specific gift for the sound. Serving. And if we give ourselves to that and help, those demons will flee. Can you imagine? Well, there is visitors coming here and we in that corner praying for them to feel welcome. Can you imagine? If we just turn to them, or speak to them, welcome them, now, I'm very much aware that even though the sound is perfect and this chair is packed out, yes, it's in heavy lines today, eh? It's a good job here. Yeah. So I just want to, the comm today, not only packed out here, but they started making pancakes and gave it out to people. That's why. Because the guy that's leading that comm has the gift of serving. And without him, this church can't function the way that it should be. And there is something that when he functions, that this is a blessing for the kingdom. Thank you, Jan. But I know if all of these things are right, it can be perfect. But if the Holy Spirit is not going to pitch up, I mean, nothing is going to change. And so, yes, of course, we need to cry out to God to bring his presence and to bring his glory. But I have a dream. I have a dream, guys. Can you imagine? I have a dream that one day 40, 50, maybe even the whole church would come beforehand. And people would look and consider, where can I help? Where can I be an encouragement? Where can I make it lighter for people? And then with that excitement with which we help to see, we all come together and make it better and nicer in that type of areas and see how we can do it well. We're thinking, now that we're here, I can't wait for the visitors to come. And so there's already an excitement for us to host them and to bring them back. Now, some of us have invited visitors, and we call some people and say, listen, yeah, I've... Shame the visitors must think that they are highly discussed. We've already hacked your Facebook profile. We know everything about you. The point is that we are hosting well, that we are caring well for people. But then if people come, we say, like, some of us come together and says, oh, I trust for God's Spirit to pour out. Let's pray. Let's cry out to God. And we pray and we seek Him together. But we're not imbalanced in regards to those things. And not just limited to these meetings, but in everyday meetings. How would it be if you move from one part of Stellenbosch to the next part of Stellenbosch, and you tell your comm, listen, I'm moving, and guys go like, listen, guys, just before we finish comm tonight, let's just pray for our brother. He is moving. Jesus, we pray that the move will go smooth. We pray that it will go fine. We just bless him, Jesus. And we bless him in that new house. It will be awesome. Just honestly. How about five guys just say, like, listen, we're going to help you move. What will be the better blessing? I just have a word for that new house. I just sense. Come on, guys. We want those other things to operate, but are we balanced enough if these things are not functioning in our midst? The gift of giving. What's it like, is Lindiwe here? Not feeling well. Beatrix here. Maybe then I can gossip easier since she's so Lindiwe is a lady in our church. She's in Kaimandi, and you know, she struggled with the eyes. Now I'm not alert. I don't pick those things up, even if people are, you know. So Beatrix, just a simple Beatrix or Lindiwe, is there something wrong with your eyes? Yes. Lindiwe, can I take you to the eye doctor, eye specialist? She takes her to the eye doctor specialist, optometrist. Take her to the eye to the optometrist. The specialist doctor from Canada. And they help her. Now I can tell you for Lindiwe, we could have given the preaching of the word. Might have been a blessing. A prophecy might have been a blessing. But I'm telling you, what Beatrix did there probably blessed Lindiwe much more than anything else that we could have done for her on that day. You know, interesting with the gift of giving. If you've got that gift, I'll tell you something about people that has the gift of giving. Usually people with the gift of giving is actually very good stewards. People with the gift of giving is not people that just willy-nilly throws around money. It's not the spenders. It's usually quite conservative in the way that they give. But they live for the fact that they have stewarded their money in such a way that they are able to give and see the body of Christ prosper. One of the guys that I spend a bit of time around, that's part of us here. I don't want to call his name because then everybody want to be his friend, you know. But we're just having a conversation that he's be part of, and someone will say they were going to leave. And then a half an hour later, that person will phone me and say, listen, do you have that person's bank details? I just want to bless them with something when they go and leave. I'm like, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Well, that person has an anniversary. What do you think when a guy has an anniversary? You give him a pat on the back. Well done, man. I mean, My wife always when we go for a birthday party, she says, "What am I going to buy them?" It's like, I'll give them a handshake, you know. But this guy would phone me, and this just a couple of times, even with our anniversary, it was just go like, "Listen here, I know you guys are going on anniversary. I just want to bless you guys." And so every time he would just pick up, there's a little need, and just give. I know him; he's quite a conservative spender, but there's something in him that just gives. And you know what he's done to me? Suddenly, I've considered these things. Suddenly, now I'm going like, "Oh shucks." There's actually people of needs that I've not considered, and I can give. It's excite me to give. If you've got the gift of giving, I know, and that's what the church has gone so wrong about. We've got such a bad rap of the way that we've treated finances, and everybody's cautious about this thing. But I'm telling you, if you've got the gift of giving, Paul tells you, give liberally. It is a beautiful thing when a guy is a good steward of finances. Responsible people are givers. The gift of giving is many times a very responsible people, but they like this before God. Yes, it's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see when guys are not using their money on buying the latest car, but just to bless the rest of the body. There's a guy now in our congregation. He used to be in our congregation. And they left his, he left his job into going into a different business venture. And as he left his job to go into the new business venture, the people pulled out. And people that I knew him from a different congregation phoned me and said, it was way back when we just came here to Stellenbosch, they phoned me and said, "I don't know if you heard what happened, but this man is he's high and dry. He's got nothing. He's got a family to look after. You need to do something. You need to put him on the pantry." At that time, we didn't have a pantry. So I'm like, "Yeah, no, we'll see what we can do." And I'm like, and I go to my wife and I said, "Listen, baby, we'll need to bring this family into our house because there's trouble. You know, they won't be able to provide, and this is going to be." And I pray about it, and I felt the Lord specifically say to me, "Just get away, just step out, just leave this." And that evening, I went to a comm group that this couple was at as well. As I come in and I see his wife didn't want to look at me. She's like, because I could see the embarrassment. I could see the pain of going through the situation. And it's such an awkward situation. And I'm like, so just before the meeting starts, another couple comes to me. They said, "Listen, can we speak to you?" I'm like, "Yeah." They said, "No, we've been praying and we've got a couple in our heart." I'm like, all right. And they mentioned the couple that just lost the job. I said, we want to give something to them. And I'm like, "Yeah, I think you heard God there, you know." So, but I'm thinking in my mind, I'm telling you, your 1,000 rand is only going to bring them that far. And they said to me, "We've got an extra car that we're not using anymore. We're thinking of selling it and giving it to them." Giving the money to them, sorry. I'm like, "No, I think you really are God." That couple, by the way, in the couple of years that they were with us, they were presented with 3 cars in this congregation. If you're a new member, you want to join this church. Last one that I just quickly want to touch is mercy. So, if you don't know what the gift of mercy is, just consider Lynn for a little while, all right? Isn't it sometimes when you hang with Lynn for a little while, you go like, "Oh, shucks, I should have had more patience with the person as well, you know. Oh, I shouldn't speak so quickly. I was just listen." Like, how do you do it, Lynn? The other thing that mercy does, I tell you who's got a mercy gift. A daughter is coming to her. I'm gonna embarrass her a little bit now. Is Nikki. Yes, you. She doesn't know. So Nikki, Kapi's Nikki, has also the gift of mercy. So this is the thing with Nikki. Nikki is such, Nikki is an intense feeler, and that's many times that's coupled with the gift of mercy. He will see something that is heart-wrenching out there. And when many of us gets desensitized of it after a while, her heart will break for it. And sometimes the gift of mercy is an excruciating gift because your heart breaks literally for the things that breaks God's heart. And so what happens is when pain is around you, you feel that pain as if it's yours. And we get desensitized for it, but you feel it. And after a while, your pain that you're experiencing, your gift of mercy, your presence of, suddenly rubs off on us. And suddenly we as a people don't become desensitized to it. Suddenly we go like, oh shucks, what about the poor? What about the broken? What about the hurt? And so if we need that heart, Nikki. We need that heart to display itself so that we can carry the heart of God. We need hearts for the broken. We need hearts for the downtrodden amongst our midst. And sometimes with the gift of mercy, it's always been looked down to. I'm a leader. I don't worry about mercy. We can't do that, guys. So, I'll finish. I see we're getting long here a little bit. I'll finish with this and say, in the next while, we will look at the gifts. But I want to say, do you want to know what your gift is? Let me ask you like this. Who of you wants to be blessed by someone with the gift of giving? I want to. These guys, they don't have burdens and they've got lots of money. It's a great church here. But how do you know what your gifting is? And I tell you, you probably would know and find what your gifting is by the thing that bugs you the most in the church. When I was in Wellington at that stage, had a massive emphasis on the prophetic. I mean, beyond anything that any one of you have seen in regards to that type of emphasis. I remember some of the guys in Wellington, we had a courtyard there with a fountain, and some of the guys would go like, oh man, I saw some angels again today. The angel of this and the angel of that was there. I'm like, wow, man. So we moved to a new venue. The guys are like heart-wrenched, you know. The angels are not here. I don't see them anymore. The one day I'm in the classroom. Two guys run into me. I saw the angels. They're back. And it was like kind of the type of talk that was sometimes going around. It was just a very much a mystic, spiritual, prophetic type of environment. But I tell you, in that time, if you would ask anybody, what do you think is the lack in this church? Most of the prophetic guys would say, hey man, I just think we do not make enough room for the prophetic. And I'm like, have you seen a Bible teacher? We never teach enough Bible. It's just like always. The reason is, that's your gift. If you've got a mercy gift, we're just never looking enough after the poor. And so understand, probably the thing that irks you, probably the lack that you see is the very thing that God has called you for. Then lastly, I want to say, watch out that whatever our gift is, we start judging the people around us. This week I've been doing a cleansing. I'm on a fat loss program. Right? And I've been drinking milk for the last 43 years. I've been drinking it. I've been 2 days off milk because apparently milk is not so good for you. So I'm off milk now because I'm cleansing myself. I'm off milk and I see someone drink milk. 2 days off milk and I'm thinking by myself, oh, these people are not caring for their bodies. We are like that sometimes, you know. As soon as we are onto something, we suddenly look down on people that's not onto that thing, right? And so that's many times the thing with our giftings. We start, God is using us in this area, and we go, like, the one gift, by the way, is the gift of mercy. is especially troublesome with that one. If we don't all look after the poor as you want to look after the poor, we all need to look after the poor. Right? But understand that God's grace is specially on you, so we don't pull all to just look after the poor all the time. There's other things also to do. All right? And sometimes people get hurt because of that, because can't believe they're drinking milk. All right. Amen. Thank you, guys. You've been awesome in the sun. I'm going to quickly pray for us. I want to just quickly ask, I'm going to pray, just as our eyes are closed, you know, as you have you been here with us, and you've just witnessed something of how the people of God operates and how they function with one another. And there's something so attractive about this kingdom. It's just about this life and this community. There's something different that the people have here. Everybody speaks about love, but there's something different here. There's a different spirit in these people. And you know you don't have that. I want to trust. I want to pray that you would also experience that. That you would also experience the life of Jesus. And I know that you could carry the name Christian, you could grow up in a Christian, you could go to church, but if you're honest with yourself, you've never been born again. If you're honest with yourself, you are not sure where you're going today if you would die. If you're really honest with yourself, you are not sure. And if you want to make sure today, if you want to say, I want to have that, I'm going to count to three. Every eye is closed, so there will be no attention on you. I just want to ask if you could put up your hands. One, two, three.